My text this morning is a little bit of an unusual one. The time of my departure is at hand. The time of my departure is at hand. Now that was the Apostle Paul who was writing over to the young preacher Timothy in the second letter that he wrote to Timothy. And I'd like for you to just listen to what he says. He says, I am now ready to be offered. I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I quote that many, many times at funerals, especially that latter part. As Paul was writing this, he was making reference to finishing his journey down here on the earth. And I want us to look at that just a little differently this morning than a finish. Joyce mentioned this morning that she's going to try to lead the children through Mary and Joseph making the journey to Bethlehem. And give a little background there. I want to go a little farther back than that. I want us to think for just a little bit this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. And I'd like for you to just keep in mind that if you read over in the 17th chapter of John, there's a lot of things in there that many times we read over very quickly. Jesus, as he was speaking, said, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The glory that I had with you before the world was. I want us to think this morning in line of what the Apostle Paul said, that Jesus said that one time to his Father, the time of my departure is at hand. He was in heaven with his Father before he ever came here to earth. He was in a perfect place, had no experience of sin, excepting to have the knowledge of it. Had never known what it was to come here to this earth and experience all that he did. And when he was there with the Father, he and the Father had the discussion as to what was going to be necessary when they created this world. I'm a preacher who believes in the foreknowledge of God. Now, some of you may not believe in that. You may think, well, just everything just happens all of a sudden and we have no explanation for it. But I believe that God knew from before the beginning of the creation of the earth exactly what was going to happen and what was going to be necessary. And I'm convinced that he knows exactly the second that it's all going to finally be wound up. Now, you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to believe that. That's your privilege. You can believe whatever you want to. I've always told you that, and I'm not going to fall out over anything with you about that. All I ask is that you just maybe give me a little substantiation of what you're believing and what you're telling me by the word of the Lord. And so as I take the word of the Lord, I can find where that before the earth was ever even created, there was a God, and that the Son, Jesus Christ, was with him there because Jesus said those words, and I believe his word. He said, I have the glory with you before the foundation of the earth. I want you to look at another one. In the 24th verse of the same chapter, it says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He's talking about his disciples and he's praying to his Father about what he wants to happen to them before that he goes away. He also is going to say, very similar to what the Apostle Paul did, for the time of my departure is at hand. As he says that after he's been here upon the earth, so he said, my hour is now come. It's now time for me to go away. Before he went away, so he went to the Father and he talked to him about what was going to take place down here upon the earth with those who were his followers and what was going to happen in the world. And he knew these things, but he said, I want you also to know that, and I want them to know that I have known thee and these have known me. But he said, that thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. By the word of God, I can prove to you this morning that God the Father loved God the Son before he ever came here upon the face of the earth. But there came a point in time to where that they looked down after that they had created the earth and after that they had created man and placed him here, and they looked down and they saw that the thoughts and the intents of man's heart were continually evil, that they recognized something was going to have to be done. And a time came whenever that the Son was willing to do what was necessary, and that he came to be the redemption of the souls of mankind. He came to be our Redeemer. He came willingly. But I want you to think for just a few minutes about what it must have been like for him to have reached that point to where that he said, you know, I love all those people and I'm ready to go. But he had to leave a perfect place. He had to leave a place where he was with his Father. I was thinking the other day, as I was reading this, about how that we used to come back here on vacation, and about 2 days before it was time for us to go home, I would catch my mom over in one of the rooms crying. And I go in, I'd say, Mom, what's wrong? And Mom said, well, you're going to have to go home the day after tomorrow. And she was already crying about the fact that we were going to be leaving and we were going to go back home to us. Now, sometimes whenever that you have things to do and whenever that you have places to go, you go with not with the happiest intent, not with the most excitement, because you have to. You're expected to. There may be some of you here this morning who are here because you think it was expected of you and because you have to. Well, quite honestly, I'm thankful you're here, but I hope you didn't come just because you felt like you had to. I hope you get something out of soul being here because you did come. But let's see if we can put this thing in a perspective that we human beings could understand. Can you imagine what it must have been like when it was in a perfect situation? He and the Father in heaven. And he realizes, the Son does, that he's going to come down here and live for a period of time because he loves us. As his Father loved him, and he loved his Father. He says that time and again. He said, as thou hast sent me into the world. So he knew that he was coming down here at the instruction and obedience to his Father. Over in the, I'm not going to read all of these to you because I've got one that I want to read in particular. It's a little long. It's about 10 verses long to be exact. But over in the second chapter of Philippians, it says that when he came, he took upon himself the form of a servant. You see, when Jesus came the first time, and he came as that little humble baby in the manger, and he came down here to live among the children of men, to become acquainted with all of the things that we experience. He experienced those things firsthand and yet without sin. Just always keep that in mind. That the Lord Jesus Christ never once sinned. Never knew what it was to feel the condemnation that you and I do. And yet he took upon himself all of our sins, a greater burden than any one of us could ever possibly even begin to think about bearing. But he did that because he loved us. But he came obedient to the will of the Father. And when he was able to say the hour is come, whenever that he was finishing work, he also said, I have finished the work that you sent me to do. So when he was about to go away, he knew that he had done everything the Father had sent him here to do. But let's get back to where that, before we get him going away, let's get him here. Now remember, he was not going to come as the equal of God, but as obedient to his Father's will. He was equal, because he was God, God in the flesh. But he came doing the Father's will. And his Father's will was that he was going to come as this little baby born in the manger, parents who experienced all kinds of trials and tribulations, grew up, lived here among the children of men. But that's what I want you to listen to this morning. I'm going to look at the clock real quick here. Because here's what he knew before he ever came that he was going to experience. And yet, he knew that that time had finally come when he was going to have to leave his Father in heaven and come down here. Listen to what the final prophet Isaiah said. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It doesn't sound like what I hear today. That's not a description that we like to make of the Lord today. There was nothing comely about him. There was nothing desirable to see about him. And yet, every time that you see anything, look at that. That's a handsome man there. I don't care what you say. It's a handsome man. Now, that's some bodies, and that may be as good a description and as a picture of him as we can get. Never forget the first time, though, that I saw him depicted as a black man. I had a fit. Yeah. Never thought of him as being a black man. Well, you know, some of you, well, he couldn't have been a black man. Well, you don't know that. He probably wasn't, but I can't tell you he wasn't white Caucasian. Let me tell you what the scripture says. The scripture says that he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Listen, these are things that the Lord knew before he came here that he was going to experience from the time that he was that little child, that little babe in the manger, until he hung there upon the cross and experienced the most horrible thing that he experienced all of the time that he has ever been. Because he experienced one time and only one time, so far as I can find in the word of the Lord, separation from his Father. One time. Horrible experience. Listen. He is despised and rejected of men. What you think about these things? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Oh, we wouldn't have done that. No. This is those people back in that day. Let me tell you something. We are no different today than those people were. As a matter of fact, we may be guilty of more of these things than those people were. We like to think that we're a little better and that we do a little better job, but I'm not so sure we do. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You ready to say, I'm ready to go? I'm ready to leave this perfect place. I'm ready to leave all of the good and go down there and be abused and mistreated by mankind. Be a tough call, folks. Takes a lot of love. Yeah, he had it though. He did it. And he was willing to do it because of me and because of you. Yeah, so whenever that you're, and please don't misunderstand me. I love the Christmas season. I love the whole atmosphere of it. I get caught up in it, and I get right in there and jostle with the crowd sometimes. I wait till I'm getting a little better at that than I used to be, but I used to wait until the very last minute and get right down there with the crowds and push and shove to get the stuff that had been beat up and battered and everything because everybody had already picked over it. I love the Christmas pageantry of the churches when we have, you know, the scenes and everything. I must admit, after 80 years, I probably get a little bored with some of it because we sometimes get to the point to where we're depicting it. What isn't even close to being accurate? But that's part of the whole thing. Part of Christmas. I still believe in Santa Claus. After all these 80 years, still remember my little black chalkboard. Yeah. But now listen, let me tell you something. The Lord knew before he came down here what was going to happen. The time of my departure is at hand. Not from earth to heaven, but from heaven to earth for him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Oh, Isaiah, hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ was going to say to the Father, it's time for me to go down there. I've got to go down there and carry out the mission that's necessary to be carried out. It's time for me to go down there and to experience what those people are going to do to me. But I'm going to go because I love them and because I know that without that happening, there is no redemption for them. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The agony, the suffering, and as I said earlier, that last time when he cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that moment of time when God the Father had to look away because Jesus had taken upon him my sin and your sins. And God cannot look upon sin. In that moment, the only time that I know of, that God the Father, God the Son are separated. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I hope that as we go through this season of the year, that we might, truly, I'm not reading my notes as I'm talking. I'm reading my notes to see what else I needed to say here. So that's what, and my notes only have scriptures on them, so that doesn't tell you much about what I've got left to say. Some of you get an alarm whenever I've got a note or something, but that's okay. I needed some this morning. Didn't use half of them. I hope that as we go through this season, and I'm so pleased, Joyce, that you're going to carry with the kids through. And I hope that I can kind of trail along behind there with a little bit for us older kids and maybe cover a few things that we won't get out of the second chapter of the book of Luke. And that's a favorite of mine. And you'll hear that, if the good Lord's willing, before the Christmas season is over. But let me assure you this morning that the Lord paid a tremendous price, not only by hanging upon the cross, but being willing to give the time to come down here and experience all the things that he experienced, when he could just as easily have said, I'm not going to his Father. But he didn't. He didn't. He came and he experienced all of those things on my behalf, that I could have the gift of eternal life.